every day. And so today I believe is going to help us on our journey. Luke chapter 10, verse 38. Here's what the Bible says. While they were traveling, he entered a village and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary who also sat at the Lord's feet and was listening to what he said. Verse 40, but Martha was distracted. Everybody say distracted. Martha was distracted by her many tasks, and she came up and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to serve alone? So tell her to give me a hand. The Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you are worried. Everybody say worried. You are worried and upset about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has made the right choice, and it will not be taken away from her. I want to go back to verse 41 that says this. The Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you are worried about many and upset about many things. Some of us are here today and you're worried and you upset about many things. But Jesus says this, but one thing is necessary, and Mary has made the right choice, and it will not be taken away from her. I want to preach on this theme of thought as we continue our sermon series, The Answer. And I want to call today's sermon, How to Win Against Worry. How to win against worry. Can you tell the person you're standing next to or who's around you, tell them, hey, neighbor, worry will not win. Now find somebody else across the room. Say it with some attitude. Say, hey, neighbor, worry will not win. Father, we pray in the name of Jesus that you would speak to us and give us encouragement and hope through your word. Remove distractions, anything the enemy would use to get in the way of us hearing from you. In Jesus' name, and every person said amen. 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 You can be seated. Worry will not win. I want to start off our time together by asking somewhat of a rhetorical question that I think will get a lot of engagement. How many of y'all, by show of hands, have ever walked into a spider web that you did not see coming or did not know was there? Matter of fact, if you've had it happen multiple times, more than once, can you raise both hands? Because the struggle is real. Man, can I tell y'all, as y'all would probably agree, there is nothing more nerve-wracking, potentially, than walking through a spider web, getting caught in it, especially one that you did not see coming. That when you walk outside of your door, out of your apartment, got in the car and saw a spider web and got caught up in it. You remember maybe how it felt, that it felt sticky, right? And some of y'all know what I'm talking about, that when you got caught up in that spider web, you looked like you were fighting somebody to get up out of that. Come on, y'all know what I'm talking about. Ain't no shame in here. Come on, I'm talking about you doing a crazy dance and doing all this. And then you hoping ain't nobody see you. And then your hands are flying all over the place. It's like you're fighting air. Come on, come on. How many of y'all know what I'm talking about when you get caught up in a spider web and no matter how much stuff you do, the more you move around, it still feels like it ain't left your body. And it's just sticking to your body. And then you go throughout the rest of your workday, and subconsciously you still feel like there's something on you. And then you start going down this whole worry web and this whole worry diatribe where you start thinking, what if the spider is in my hair? What if it's in my clothes? And what if it creates a whole family in my body? Come on, anybody ever thought that? That's just me before. Come on, ladies, I know exactly what I'm talking about. When you walk through a spider web and you're like, oh my gosh, I hope it's not. I hope it's not. Because man, there's something really icky about getting caught up in a web, especially one that you couldn't see coming. It's one thing when you walk into a web and you knew it was there, but it's another thing to walk into a web that you didn't even see coming. That it was, that how the light hit it, it kind of hit it and it kind of disguised it, if you will. You found yourself caught up in this web. And what I've recognized, family, in our sermon that I want us to understand is just as we have gotten caught up in a spider web, I think many times we can get caught up in a worry web. Where we can find ourselves caught up in a web called worry that traps our peace, that tangles our thoughts, and that sticks to your spirit. That no matter how much you try to do, it feels like worry is all around you. Someone once said a thought-provoking statement that I feel like is appropriate for today when it comes to worry. They say this, the average person is crucifying himself between two thieves, the regrets of yesterday and the worry of tomorrow.
that the average person is crucifying himself between two thieves, the regrets of yesterday and the worries about tomorrow. And I think that's fitting because oftentimes when we get caught up in this web called worry, we can find ourselves is sometimes feeling like it's a struggle to move forward. That even when you want to have joy and when you want to have fun, there's something still subconsciously in the back of your mind. Have you ever been on a vacation and you were like, man, this is going to be so awesome, but you went on that vacation and in the back of your mind, you're thinking about all the things that you got to do when you come off vacation? Anybody ever had that happen? This is just me. You ever had a moment where you're trying to enjoy yourself, but you just can't help stop thinking about a major decision or a major conversation or something that has gripped your attention? You can't stop thinking about it. Worry, family, is like a web. And in many ways, that's what we see happening here in Luke chapter 10 with Mary and Martha. The context of Luke chapter 10, the Bible says Jesus and his disciples are traveling once again, spreading the message of the kingdom. And the Bible says that they enter a village and are welcomed by a woman by the name of Martha, who invites Jesus and his disciples into her home, who also she has a sister by the name of Mary. Mary and Martha, sisters. But what we also learn about this family is later on in scripture, Mary and Martha, we learn, also have a brother by the name of Lazarus. And throughout the course of the New Testament, we see Jesus, how he was close to a few people in the scripture, but specifically how he was close to Mary and Martha and Lazarus. And here in Luke 10, the Bible says that Jesus steps into the house of Martha, and her sister Mary was also there. Now, the reason why I want us to highlight that and see that is because as Jesus steps into their house, Mary and Martha have two totally different responses to Jesus being in the house. They are both in the same house with the same Jesus, but having two totally different experiences with Jesus, specifically Martha. Because the Bible says that as Martha welcomes Jesus into her home, Mary was doing one thing, but Martha found herself doing a plethora of things. The Bible specifically says in verse 40, Martha was distracted by her many tasks, and she came up and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her to give me a hand. I want to look at that word distracted. Everybody say distracted. Because this word in the Greek language of the New Testament here, it literally means to be pulled in multiple and in different directions at the same time. Have you ever been there where it felt like your mind was in five different places at the same time? You're thinking about your family. You're thinking about your job. You're thinking about your health. You're thinking about your mental health. You're thinking about finances, all happening in the course of your mind. Anybody ever been there before where it felt like your mind was being pulled in all these different directions. And Jesus here is in the house, but she is busy with all these tasks. Now, to Martha's defense, she has a guest in the house. And when you have a guest in the house, you want to show great hospitality. Martha knows how to cook. Matter of fact, there's other times in scripture where we see people gather in her house, and the Bible says she's preparing the dinner. She knows how to cook. Matter of fact, I think Martha had a reputation. Man, listen, can't nobody broil no fish like Martha. Martha cooked some of the best shredded lamb for Passover. And Martha is busy at work trying to get the house right. She's doing a good thing. Hear me. She's not doing a bad thing. She's doing a good thing. She wants to take care of Jesus, and she wants Jesus to have a first-class experience. But what's happening here is she's being overwhelmed by all the responsibilities of the house, and she's being overwhelmed by all the tasks of the house, and she's being overwhelmed by all the things that need to be done to take care of Jesus and his disciples. And she's got a problem, and she's mad because her sister Mary is not helping at all. So much to the point, y'all, where she got so much tension with Mary, she don't even talk to Mary about Mary. She talked to Jesus about Mary. Don't you see that my sister is here? Tell her to help me and give me a hand. She big mad. Oh, you mad. You big mad. We ain't arguing with you. Some of y'all, that's okay. You want to argue. Here in this moment, family, Martha is upset. She's irritated. She's bothered. She's overwhelmed. She's stressed. She's anxious. She's worried. Now, we don't want to give Martha a bad rap because I believe, if we're honest, all of us have been where Martha is. She's stressed about doing good things. She's anxious. She's worried. And she's even begun to project some of this frustration on Jesus. She says to Jesus, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to serve alone?" Which we learned last week is very similar to what the disciples said when they were on their stormy day in the boat. Remember, we talked about it last week in our message, "Fear is not my future." If you missed it, go back and listen to it. But one of the things that the disciples said when they found themselves in this storm, they said, "Lord, don't you care that we're going to die?" And many of us are asking the same question. Lord, do you care about what I'm carrying? Do you care about what I'm worried about? Do you care about what I'm stressed about? And notice Jesus' words to Martha in verse 41 when we jump ahead. The Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about many things." Martha, Martha, you are worried. Everybody say worried. She's caught up in this web called worry. And when Jesus says you are worried, it helps us to see something powerful about this word worry. Because when you break this word down in its context, it literally means to be anxious, to be troubled, or to be diseased. To have an uneasiness in your spirit. But when Jesus says, "Martha, you are worried about many things," here's what this also helps us to see. And many of us might not like this, but it is still true. Worry, family, is a choice. It's a choice. I know, if you can't say amen, say ouch. I know. It's a choice. Pastor, what do you mean? Worry is choosing to focus more on what's around me than the one who is for me. And Martha has this reality check with Jesus, who says, "You are worried," watch this, "and you are upset about many things." I looked up that word upset last night just when I was preparing, and that word blew my mind. It literally means to cause a ruckus. It means to make a lot of noise, which is interesting because we got to ask, when Martha was having this conversation with Jesus, what was the temperature like in this moment? Well, she causes a scene. Because I wonder if you know, Mary and Martha had a conversation. I wonder if they knew that Jesus and his disciples were coming to the crib, you know, coming to hang out and coming to have dinner. I wonder if, hey, you know, Jesus and the disciples, they're coming through and they love to eat. So we need to make sure this whole house is ready. I wonder if they had a conversation like that. And Mary was like, "Martha, girl, sis, I got you. I'm gonna help out." Right? Fast forward, Jesus and the disciples pull up. We don't know if this happened. I'm just speculating. Jesus and the disciples pull up, and then Mary is like, "Oh my gosh, the Lord is here." And Martha looking at her like, "We talked about getting this house in order. And here I am fluffing the couch. Here I am cleaning these dishes. Here I am broiling this fish. Here I am shredding up the lamb. And you over here sitting at his feet. We talked about this, Mary. Don't act brand new because the Messiah here." I wonder what happened. And I wonder what this scene was like. I wonder how tense it was. I wonder how frustrated Martha was. I wonder if, you know, if Martha was getting a little passive aggressive. Because you know how we get when we get passive aggressive. When you're trying to make a scene without making a scene, you start slamming stuff. "Jesus, us." You start slamming cabinets. And come on, y'all looking at me like y'all know what I'm talking about. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Get real passive aggressive. And Martha in this moment, y'all, is worked up. She is overwhelmed. There could be a ruckus on the outside. We don't know. But here's what we do know. There's a ruckus on the inside. There's a lot of noise on the inside of her heart and on the inside of her mind. She's not just worried. The Bible says she's upset. She's angry. And I feel like that's important to understand because worry and anger oftentimes fly at the same altitudes. Wherever there's worry, anger is not often too far, which is why in this series, we're going to talk about how to deal with anger so that way anger don't deal with us.
Come on, somebody. That's why the Bible says, be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry. In your anger, do not sin. Do not give the devil a foothold. We're going to talk about that. Because some of us have missed out on great and godly opportunities because of our anger. Because we popped off at the mouth and said something even though we should have been quiet. Come on, y'all. Y'all helping me right now. We're going to talk about it. But that's a sermon for another time. Today, we're going to talk about worry. Martha is worried. She's anxious. But here's what I know about all of us. Martha isn't the only one who found herself and finds herself getting caught up in the web of worry, because if we're honest, we too have fallen in this trap and gotten caught up in this web of worry. We too have walked into this web of worry where no matter how much we tried to shake it, we couldn't shake it, and we carried it with us wherever we went. We went throughout the course of the day and worry was still there. We went out through the course of the week and worry was still there. Many people are living lives worried and upset about many things, which causes me to ask us this question that I want you to ask yourself. What am I worried about right now? What do you anxious about right now? Some of us have come in here carrying worry. Matter of fact, let me say it like this. We haven't just come in here carrying worry. Some of us came in here carried by worry. Worry's been carrying us all week. It's messed with your sleep. Matter of fact, it's hard for some of us to focus right now because you're thinking about what's going to happen after service. I hope pastor ends on time so I can get some lunch, so that way I can get my lunch and then go home and see my favorite football team, so that way I can see my favorite football team and then take a nap, so that way after I take a nap, I can wake up and get the work done that I need to do that's actually a week delayed, and I didn't get it done last week, so I got to play catch up today. I hope pastor ends on time so that way I can take care of all the responsibilities, but if pastor doesn't end on time and if he decides he wants to preach long and be filled with the Spirit, it's going to throw off my whole schedule. I'm worried right now. Some of us are worried. Some of us are overwhelmed. Can I tell you a few things about what worry is? Write this down. Worry is a stressor. Stressor. What do I mean by stressor? It causes stress. Stress on your body, stress on your mind. Studies have actually shown that it can make you more likely to have high blood pressure, a heart attack, or a stroke. The higher levels of anxiety can trigger those stress hormones that make your heart beat faster and harder. Have you ever noticed the correlation that the more you stress out about something, the more you feel something in your body take place? Your blood pressure raises. This is why sometimes when we go to the doctor and your doctor checks your levels, they say your blood pressure is elevated. And they ask, what are you thinking about? What's your thought life like? What are you stressed about? What are you eating? Because there are certain things that are happening on the inside of us that can now begin to impact the quality of our life. They've also shown that studies have also shown that high levels of stress can lead to heart disease or strokes or even kidney disease. Maybe part of the reason why physically we have some of the things happen even in our physical bodies is simply because of stress, which is the byproduct maybe of worry. Here's what worry is also. It is a stealer. Now, I'm not talking about a Pittsburgh stealer. I'm talking about a stealer, a thief. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. It is a stealer. Pastor Howe, because worry robs you of time. It robs you of rest. Have you ever spent hours upon hours thinking about scenarios and how they would play out and how they would work out? It robs you of joy. One person said it like this. Worry is like a rocking chair. It gives you something to do, but it gets you nowhere. And you just constantly are in this place of ruminating and ruminating and ruminating, which is why Jesus says in Matthew 6 and 27, he says these words, can any of you add one moment to his lifespan by worrying? Let's keep that scripture up. Here's what Jesus is saying. Can any good come out of worrying? Does it add value to your life? And that's really a rhetorical question, because it doesn't add value to us, but it can take value from us. It robs you of time. It'll rob you of sleep. Some of us haven't had a good night of sleep in months because we've been ruminating and we've been worried about things on our job. We've been worried about things in the economy. We've been worried about things in our family. We've been worried about our health. We haven't been able to rest well because we've constantly been thinking over and over about worst case scenarios. Here's what Pastor Robert Smith says about worry. Worry is paying rent on a problem that hasn't happened yet. It is paying rent on a problem that hasn't happened yet. Can I ask you a question? Have you ever been so worried about something and worried about something happening and then come to find out it never happened at all? Anybody ever had it happen before? You were so worried, you were so worked up, and then nothing actually happened. And so you're relieved that nothing happened, but then when you actually go back and process, you're like, man, I lost so much time. I was so worked up. I was so stressed. Because worry robs you. Worry drains you. Worry takes from you. And all of us, whether we're a student, whether we're a teenager, whether we're a young adult, a college student, whether we're white, whether we're black, Hispanic, whether we're younger, whether we're older, whether we're married, all of us, myself included, have found ourselves entangled in the web of worry. We worry about a variety of things in our life. Some of us are worried right now about classes that we're in and tests that we gotta take. Some of us are worried about a negative doctor's health prognosis that we receive. Some of us are worried about the dynamics of our family and how to navigate some of the familiar challenges that we're dealing with. Some of us are worried about politics and all these things that are happening around us. Some of us are worried about having enough resources to pay bills by the end of the month. Some of us are worried about safety in schools. Here's what I've recognized, family. All of us are worrying about something. Whether you admit it or not, I know you came in here looking all nice and dressed all good and you got the good smell of perfume and good smell of cologne today, but no matter what you try to dress up with, worry might still be there. All of us can find ourselves susceptible to worry. We might not be worrying about the same thing, but all of us have found ourselves caught up in the web of worry. Worry pulls our minds apart and it pulls our emotions apart, where we can find ourselves being like Martha, where we're meaning well, but still living under the stronghold and the burden of worry. And here's what I also need you to help you understand about worry. Worry isn't just a mental battle. It is more importantly a spiritual battle. I know we got a whole lot of self-help things right now, and I'm not against it. I know there's a lot of practical things that we can do to help us with worry. I'm not against it. I'm for it. But if we only limit worry to carnal things and to tangible things and to natural things and not recognize that there is an underlying spiritual component to worry, what will happen is we will find ourselves fighting a spiritual battle with earthly and natural tools. And as long as you are fighting spiritual battles with natural and earthly tools, you will always lose that battle. But we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. We wrestle against principalities and dark forces in the spiritual realms. And because of that, God has given us spiritual armor to be able to fight off the spiritual battle called worry that happens on the inside of our mind. Spiritual battle. Because many of us know this, and I'm pretty sure we will say amen to this. You can't sleep worry away. Matter of fact, some of us haven't slept well because of worry. You can't PlayStation worry away. You can't Netflix worry away. You can't eat worry away. You can't shop worry away. Someone's like, but I feel good in the moment until you get that credit card bill. Now you got more worries. Because you and I can do all those things thinking that it will erase and evade us from experiencing worry, but not recognize that worry has not gone anywhere, that it is still with us. All of which can cause us to now ask this question: how can I stop spiraling into worry? I think some of us are in here right now. You know you shouldn't really be worrying, but some of us are like, but Pastor, I don't know how to stop worrying. All I know how to do is worry. I'm a certified worrier. I got a PhD in worry. I got a doctoral degree, terminal degree in worry. I am a superstar in worry. I am the franchise player with a franchise called worry. Pastor, all I know how to do is worry. It's like I can't help myself. Like even when I try not to worry, I find myself worrying. Come on, how many of us can be honest and find us and say, man, that's me sometimes. I can find myself spiraling. I wasn't even trying to. I was having the best day. And then somebody sent me a text message and it sent me down. I said, this is the day that the Lord has made and this week is going to be awesome. But then I got an email and it messed with me. I said, this week is going to be awesome. Then I go outside and I got a flat tire. Now I'm worried about that because I didn't have enough money to pay for the last bill. And we're worried. And we're worried. And some of us are like, man, I've tried everything. I tried to drink it away. That didn't help. I tried to smoke it away. That didn't help. I tried to lie it away. That didn't help. I tried to shop it away. That didn't help. It's a web that I feel like I'm entangled in. And no matter where I go, no matter what I do, no matter where I move, I find myself consumed and trapped by worry. And some of us have almost kind of just said this. This is how I'm going to always be. This is my lot in life. I'm going to always be a worrier. But can I give you some good news that's found here in the text? Here's what Jesus says, that in spite of Martha being pulled apart by worry, which all of us, myself included, can relate to, notice the words of Jesus at the end in verse 42. We're jumping ahead, but we'll come back in the middle in just a moment. Here's what he says. One thing is necessary. After he says, Martha, you're worried about many things. He says, but one thing is necessary. Mary has made the right choice. Everybody say the right choice. And it will not be taken away from her. Some translations say this. Mary has chosen what is better. The reason why I get excited about this is because it shows us that Jesus does not want you and I to be controlled and dominated by the spirit of worry, because he, in his omniscience and his omnipotence and in his power and in his wisdom, Jesus has a better way to live life as opposed to living controlled by the spirit of worry. There is a better way to live life than not having peace. There is a better way than living in fear. There is a better way than living overwhelmed. And I don't know about you, but I'm glad about the fact that Jesus says, there is a better way for you to live life, that you don't have to be controlled by the spirit of worry anymore, that you don't have to be controlled by fear anymore. No, greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. Tell the person beside you, worry will not win. Worry will not win. I know the enemy has said a whole lot of things to some of us in here, and I know many of us in here are believing a whole lot of different types of things. A whole lot of different thoughts are swirling through our mind. Can I let you know this, that you are more than a conqueror through him who loves you? I'm here to let you know that worry will not have the last word on you. No, not one bit. Jesus will have the last word. He is the beginning and the end. He is the Alpha and the Omega. Worry will not win. And what we see in this text here with Mary, we see Mary's actions. We see Martha, who's consumed with worry. But see, we see Mary here consumed by something different. And we see Jesus affirm her response. He says, Mary has chosen what is better. Everybody say better. I need to encourage some of us in here today, because some of us are living life at a level right now, can I let you know this, when God has better. Some of us have settled and God's like, I got better for you. I want your marriage to be better. I want the direction of your life to be better. I want you to have a better relationship with me. I want you to grow in better. He's come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Can I let you know that Jesus's desire is not that you would be held hostage to this thing called worry? No, he has come to set the captives free, even those who are captive to worry. I'm here to let you know that if Jesus can free you from sin, he can free you from worry as well. He's come that you might have better life. And he chooses to highlight Mary in her response. He says, Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. So I want us to see what Mary chose to focus on. Rather than focusing on what's around her, she focused on the Savior who was in front of her. And when we look at this, it's nuanced. I want us to see a few principles. Number one, she focused on the presence of Jesus. Everybody say presence. So look at verse 39. Here's what the Bible says. Martha, she had a sister, verse 39, named Mary, who also sat at the Lord's feet. Now, this is an idiom that speaks of her being in this posture of a student where she's learning from Jesus. It means that she is holding Jesus in high regard. In many ways, it can also mean a posture of worship. She is submitted to Jesus in this moment. And one of the things that we constantly see in the life of Mary, she's always finding herself at the feet of Jesus. So here in Luke 10, Jesus is in their house. And what does the Bible say? She's seated at his feet. And then when you go into the book of John, around John chapter 10, after her brother Lazarus had died and he had been in the grave for 4 days, Jesus will come and resurrect him out of the grave. We see that whole miracle take place. But the Bible says before that happens, Mary approaches Jesus and she falls at his feet.
And then in John chapter 11, after Lazarus is resurrected by Jesus, the Bible says that there's a meal prepared in honor of Lazarus and Jesus. By the way, who you think made that meal? Martha. And the Bible says that Mary goes and grabs an expensive jar of alabaster box, and she breaks this box that was filled with pure nard, and she begins to humble herself, and she begins to wash the feet of Jesus. Mary is constantly in this posture where she is at the feet of Jesus. What does this mean? She is focused on the presence of Jesus. Do you want to know one of the key ways to ward off worry in your life? Focus on the presence of Jesus in your life. Pastor, how do I do that? Through prayer, through worship. This is why worship on Sunday mornings is so important. This is why worship in your everyday life is so important. This is why having a consistent prayer life is so important. Why? Because it positions me in a way to be able to focus on the presence of God. It's interesting here that Mary and Martha both made room for Jesus in the home, in their house, but only Mary is making room for Jesus in her heart. And can I let us know something? I need us to get this. You can be in the same place of Jesus and still miss Jesus. He is omnipresent through the power and the presence of his Holy Spirit, meaning he's everywhere at the same time. But there's a difference between his omnipresence and his manifest presence. His omnipresence means that he is all around, that we have access to him no matter where we go. So whether I'm in a mountaintop moment of my life, he's there with me. If I'm in a valley moment of my life, he's there with me. If I'm in a fiery furnace, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, he's still with me. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because you are with me. But there's a difference between him being around me and his manifest presence, meaning I'm accessing his presence. Because just because he's in the room does not mean that I'm putting him first in the room. Meaning this, that Jesus can be in our midst and we still miss him. You can come to church and still miss what God has for you. This is why many of us who are in this place right now can come in and have two totally different experiences. For some of us, we're like, man, I came to church today. Pastor was kind of flat. I'd give it a 2 and then scale to 10. You know, it wasn't his best sermon. The worship team, yeah, it was a little, Last Sunday it was great. This Sunday, Whereas somebody else would be like, oh my gosh, God spoke to me through the word. He spoke to me even in the worship moment. He spoke to me. Because just because Jesus is in the room does not mean that you and I have accessed his presence in the room. And that all comes down to, what am I focused on? So here's what David says in Psalm 27:4. I have asked one thing from the Lord. Everybody say one thing. It is what I desire, to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, gazing on the beauty of the Lord and seeking him in his temple. This is a picture and a principle that God wants to see and wants us to see, in the sense of, I am making the focal point of my life his presence. I want his presence to guide me. So I focus and I seek the Lord's presence through prayer, through worship of God. Here's what the Bible says in Philippians 4:6. Some of y'all are not gonna like the scripture, because I said earlier, worry is a choice. You're not gonna like this one. Don't worry about anything. Don't worry about anything. Pastor, what about my bills? Don't worry about it. What about my crazy kids? Don't worry about them. What about my crazy spouse? Don't worry about them. What about my boss? Don't worry about it. What about politics? Definitely don't worry about that. What about what I see on social media? Don't worry about it. What about what people say about me? Don't worry about it. What about this test that I gotta take? It's important that I pass it. True, but don't worry about it. But pastor, if I don't worry about it, that means I don't care about it. Not worrying doesn't mean I don't care. Not worrying means that I'm going to trust the one who cares the most with the things that are careful to me. Don't worry about anything. Watch what the Bible says next. Here's a better alternative. But in everything, through what? Prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. Watch what happens next. Here's a guarantee. Verse 7. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And part of the reason why some people don't experience the peace of God is because they're not focused on the presence of God. You cannot get the peace of God without first starting with the presence of God. If you want to experience God's peace, that means you and I got to focus in on his presence. I got to draw close to him. So this is what Hebrews 4:16 says. It says this, therefore, let us come boldly before the throne of grace. Let us approach the throne of grace with boldness so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in the time of need. When I think about that word boldness, here's what comes to my mind. I think about the parents and kid relationship. And any parent, when I say this, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. Because how many times have you like been minding your own business, your door was closed, the bathroom door was closed, and then all of a sudden, kids pop in. Anybody ever had it happen that's only in our house? They don't care what you're doing, what you watching. What's most important is what's important to them in this moment. Dad, can I play PlayStation? I'm in the bathroom. Mom, I need to do this. I am sending an email. But do you know what that teaches us? That's a childlike faith that Jesus talks about us adopting. That a child, the only thing they know how to do is to have childlike faith and come to their mother or their father, to come to their guardian, to come to the one that they trust the most and ask whatever question they want to ask at any time that they want to ask it. They come with a spirit of boldness. Yo, my kids have literally asked, Dad, can you buy us all a PlayStation? Each? Am I lying? 500, 500, 500. Somebody like, Pastor, what'd you do? We have one, and it's mine. Somebody like, Pastor, that's bad parenting. Bless them kids. No, them kids can work. Save up your own money. But what's the principle? They come with a spirit of boldness. Because in their mind as a child, they believe that there's nothing that mom and dad cannot do. They got resources that we don't have. Can I help you understand something? That's exactly what God wants us to have when we come to him. He owns cattle on 1,000 hills. He says, come to me with boldness so that you can receive help in your time of need. Is there anybody glad about the fact that we got a Father in heaven, that no matter what it is that we got going on, we can come boldly before the throne of grace and receive help in our time of need? We focus on his presence. We go to him. And here's what 1 Peter 5:6 says. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God so that he may exalt you at the proper time. Watch verse 7. Casting all your cares on him because he cares about you. I go to him and I carry my cares to him. I go to him and I carry my worries to him. I go to him and I carry my burdens to him, my stressors to him, my anxieties to him. God is inviting us to come into his presence every single day. Which means this, as I said earlier, write this down. Not worrying about things doesn't mean we don't care. It means we're trusting the God who cares the most. It means I give my cares to the one who can do something about my cares. Can I give us a word of encouragement, family? Give your worries to God. Whatever you're worried about right now, give it to God. Why? Because peace comes when we focus on God's presence over life's problems. Peace comes when we focus on God's presence over life's problems. So you got two options today. You can worry or you can worship. You can panic or you can pray. You can worry or you can get in the face of God and call down heaven and say, God, this thing is stressing me out right now, but I still will bless the Lord at all times. His praise will continuously be in my mouth. Drawing close. Your presence. So family, what if the next time you feel anxiety and worry knocking on your door, what if instead of worrying, you go into worship? And you say, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. What if instead of panicking, you go into praising God? Thank you for all that you've done in my past. If you've been faithful in my past, I know that you will be faithful again. What if instead of throwing a fit right now, you begin to throw up a praise of faithful thanksgiving to God, where you say, God, I know that you are with me. You will never leave me nor forsake me. What if you begin to declare the goodness of God over your life when worry begins to creep in? Why is this important? Because worship and prayer may not always get me out of a situation, but it always brings God into the situation. And when you find yourself falling into the pit of worry, lean into the presence of God. This is why the enemy does everything he can to prevent you from being here, prevent you from being in a connect group, prevent you from being in the word, because he knows that if you get into the presence of God through prayer, through worship, through being in the word, the worries of life begin to lose their power over you. Which now leads to the second point, focusing on, write this down, the principles of Jesus. Mary chose to not just focus on the presence of Jesus, she also chose to focus on the principles of Jesus. So here's what the Bible says. Mary was sitting at the Lord's feet, in verse 39, and she was listening to what he said. This speaks of her putting first the word of God. She's choosing to listen to the words of Jesus than the worries of life around her. She's focusing on the word of God, not the stressors of life. It doesn't mean that what's around her is not important. But what she's doing is she's choosing to focus in this moment more on the word of God. Can I give you a major cheat code when you find yourself falling into the web of worry? Begin to focus on the principles, the teachings, and the word of God. Begin to meditate on the word of God. Here's what Joshua chapter 1 verse 8 says. It says this, this book of instruction must not depart from your mouth. You are to meditate on it day and night. Meditate on it day and night. Here's what I've recognized. We don't have a problem meditating. We think about things all day long. The question is, what are we thinking about? One person said it like this, I think, therefore I am. So the more I think lies, the more my life will reflect that. But if I begin to think the truth of God over my life, if I begin to think greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world, if I begin to think that no weapon formed against me shall be able to prosper, if I begin to think I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength, if I begin to think that he is for me and not against me, if I begin to think that my God will supply all of my needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus, that's when the worries of life begin to fade. So write this down. Instead of meditating on our worries, God invites us to meditate on his word. This is why every day, can I give you some pastoral coaching? You should not start your day with social media or your text messaging or your phone calls or your email or Good Morning America. Watch this. Or even your favorite preacher. Start your day in the word of God. Before you hear what anybody else has to say, you need to hear what God wants to say, and you need to know what God has already said. Start your day in the word of God. Meditate on it day and night. That word that God gives you, that scripture that you read in the morning, whether it's from your app, whether it's from your Bible, whatever it is, reading plan, whatever it is, that word that you got that's been listed right there in front of you, meditate on it day and night. Chew on that all throughout the course of the day. Let it shape the way you think about things. Let it shape the way you talk to people. Let it shape the way you feel. Let it shape the decisions that you make. Meditate on it day and night. Why? Because his word is greater than your worries. And I want to encourage some of us with this. Whatever you're worried about, God has already spoken about. There is not a single worry that you have in your life that God has not already spoken about. But pastor, I'm worried about provision. I'm worried about having enough money. I'm worried about having enough resources. Can I ask you, why are you worried when Philippians 4:19 says that my God will supply all of your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus? Pastor, but I'm worried about my health. But 1 Peter 2:24 says that by his stripes we are healed. But pastor, I'm worried about my future. But Jeremiah 29:11 says that I know the plans that I have path for you, plans to prosper you and not harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. But pastor, I'm worried about outcomes. But Romans chapter 8 verse 28 says that my God is able to work all things out for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. But pastor, I'm worried about my safety and I'm worried about my protection. Why? Psalm 91 says, he is my refuge and he is my strength and he is my fortress. Is anybody here glad about the fact that God has a word for every ounce of worry that you are dealing with right now? God has a word for your worries. So instead of meditating on what's around me, I will focus on God's word over me. Instead of me worrying about people's opinions, I will worry about the truth that God has spoken over my life. Instead of worrying about tomorrow, I will worry more about the word being digested into my heart. I'm here to let you know, you don't got to worry about tomorrow when you know the God who's already in tomorrow, when you know the God who is of tomorrow, when you know the God who's already worked out tomorrow. You don't have to worry about the latter part of today when you know the God who is for you. He's already in that part of today. He has already taken care of the needs that you have in your life. He has already taken care of the burdens that you're carrying. God has already gone before you. He has a word for you. Pastor, how can he have a word for me? Because the Bible says he is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the beginning and the end. He is the unmoved mover. He is the one who has created all things, that before all things were created, he was already there. Thank God that he sees the end from the beginning. And the reason why he has a word for no matter the season of life we're in and no matter the situation we find ourselves in, because he sees the end from the beginning. He always has an on-time word just when you need it. He always knows exactly what you need, exactly how you need it, and exactly when you need it. He has a word for you in the middle of your worries. Tell the person beside you, he's got a word for you. He's got a word. Mary chose to focus on the words of Jesus. If you want to know how to fight against worry, get in the word. If you want to know a weapon that God gives you for worry, it's called the word, the sword of the spirit. It's not designed just to fight off the enemy. It's also designed to fight off the lies of the enemy. Because some of us have been victimized by the circumstances of life. And we've allowed circumstances to carry us for so long. But I'm here to declare in Jesus' name that it is time for you to be free from this web called worry. And the web called worry can be broken down by the eternal, powerful word of God. I'm here to let you know that the word of God is able to break chains in your mind. The word of God is able to break chains in your heart. The word of God is able to set captives free. It is the good news of the gospel to let everybody know that whatever you're held captive to, the word can set you free. She focused on the principles of Jesus, the words of Jesus. She was locked in the words of Jesus. Here's the third thing I want to give us that she shows us. She's not just focused on the presence of Jesus and the principles of Jesus, but lastly, she's also focused on the priorities of Jesus. Everybody say priorities. Here's what I've recognized about all of us. All of us prioritize things. The question is, what are we prioritizing? What's most important to us? Is our car most important to us? Is our career most important to us? Is our marriage most important to us? Are our finances most important to us? And not that those things are not important, but what's of most importance? Because whatever is of most importance will get most of your attention and most of your heart. And what Mary shows us is that the thing that was of most importance to her more than anything else, watch this, even more than doing something for Jesus, what was of most importance was being with Jesus. She was focused on him. Pastor, how can you say that? Notice what Jesus says in verse 41. Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has made the right choice, and it will not be taken away from her. I love the fact that the Lord Jesus says she's made the right choice, because if there's one thing that worry does, worry typically distracts us from what's most important, which is what happened to Martha. Yes, Martha, it's important that we eat. But what's of most important is that you and I be present with the King of Kings. The King is in the room, which means everything should stop right now. His agenda becomes our agenda. Whatever he does is what I do. Wherever he goes is wherever I go. And Mary displayed this, that she had made Jesus the focal point. Here's what she's doing. She's putting Jesus first. Jesus has come first. She's doing, this is the acronym that I came up with to give us all. She's She has the spirit of Job about her. Jesus over everything. That's what it is for her. Jesus over everything. Jesus before everything. It doesn't mean that other things are not important, but it means that he is of supreme importance. And this is important to understand. The late Tim Keller said this, when we choose what matters to God, we discover what truly satisfies. Colossians chapter 1, verse 17 says this, he, who is he? Jesus. He is before all things. Watch this. And by him, all things hold together. All things hold together. If he can hold the sun and the moon together, if he can hold the earth in its place, if he can hold the Milky Way galaxy in its place, if he can keep the waves from going past a certain point, then surely that also means he can keep my mind together. He can keep my life together. And here's what the Bible says next. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he might come, watch this, to have, verse 18, first place in everything. Can I let you know? Jesus does not come in second place, family. Jesus is the King of Kings. He is to come first before anything. He is to be at the head of my marriage. He is to be at the head of my house. He is to be at the head of my finances. He has to be the head of my career. He comes first and foremost above everything. Here's what Jesus says in Matthew 6:33, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be provided for you. Seek first. Everybody say first. Seek first the kingdom of God, and everything else will be added unto you. Whatever you're worried about, Jesus is saying, if you would seek me first, I will take care of those things. If you would seek me first, and if you will put me first, it will take the weight and the burden of responsibility off of your shoulders and put it on mine. And some of the reason, respectfully, why some of us are tired and stressed is because you're carrying burdens that you were not meant to carry. There are burdens that many of us are carrying right now that only Jesus was meant to carry. And he's inviting us today to bring our burdens to him and to seek first the kingdom of God. One of my mentors said it like this. If you take care of God's business, he'll take care of yours. If you put him first, he'll take care of the rest. Which means this, Jesus is to come before our preferences. He's to come before our plans. He's to come before our politics. Everything is to be shaped around Jesus. Everything is to be shaped around his priorities. Everything is to be shaped around his desires. We should be living a life that says this, not my will, but let yours be done. And I believe if we would focus more on Jesus with the direction of our life, we would be less stressed. We would be less anxious. We would be less worried. We would be less fearful. If we would focus more on the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, y'all, the problems that we worry about, we wouldn't worry about them anymore. The weight that we carry in our hearts, we wouldn't carry anymore. Because Jesus is carrying them. I want to close with this. I was recently talking with an older gentleman, somebody I see every week as I'm out, and he knows that I'm a pastor, and he was asking me, he always calls me Rev. He says, Reverend Jones, he said, what you preaching tomorrow? Older guy, he's about 80 years old. I said, Mr. Bill, I'm preaching on worry. He said, Lord, have mercy. You were preaching to me already. I said, how? He said, what text you preaching from? I said, man, I'm actually preaching from a text that I've never preached from when it comes to worry. I'm preaching about Martha and Mary and how Martha found herself worried about many different things. He said, because she won't focus on the right thing. I said, exactly. And he said, Reverend, this makes me think about how the circumstances that I'm going through right now. He talked about how he's on dialysis and he gets dialysis treatments on a regular basis. And as he's getting these dialysis treatments on a regular basis, he says, there's many different people. They walk through all these different scenarios. And when they go through dialysis treatment, many of them have these different dispositions. They come in overwhelmed. They come in stressed. They come in worry. He said, but Reverend, do you know what I do? I said, what, Mr. Buddy? He said, I go to sleep. I was like, how you sleep with everything that you're walking through? He said, I got tubes hooked up, all this. He said, man, I go to sleep. I said, Mr. Miller, how do you sleep in the midst of that discomfort? Aren't you worried in that moment? He says, I don't worry about a thing. I was like, man, how you do that? You just chilling. He says, you know, the key to me not worrying when I'm going to dialysis and I'm getting that treatment for 4 hours every time I get that treatment. He says, you know what I think about? He says, I think about Jesus. He says, I think about his word. I think about how he's with me, never leave me, never forsake me. I think about Jesus. And as I think about Jesus, I fall asleep. It's almost like a spiritual Benadryl, NyQuil. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Some of y'all give y'all kids NyQuil, go to sleep. Yeah. Some of y'all take NyQuil, I'm going to sleep. He says, I start praying and I talk with Jesus and I fall asleep. And next thing I know, the doctors are waking me up saying, you done. And I'm like, man, we done already. Has it been 4 hours? It's been 4 hours. He said, you know what gets me through them 4 hours? Jesus. In that moment, I'm not worried about my health. I'm focused on the one who can heal my body. I'm focused on the one who can do something about my situation. I'm focused on the one who is for me. And he says, son, if we would just focus more on Jesus, many of the life's concerns that we have and many of the life's worries that we have would begin to dissipate and fall by the wayside. If we would just focus more on Jesus and his goodness and focus more on Jesus and his grace and focus more on Jesus and his power, more in his presence, more on his word, the things that we are worried about, the things that we are stressed about, we'll begin to recognize that it does not have more power than the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And I'm here to encourage some of you today, if you would just focus on the King of Kings, if you would just focus on the Lord of Lords, I'm here to let you know you will get a peace that surpasses all understanding. You will experience a power that surpasses all understanding because you're focused on the one who can do something about it. So how do I win against worry? I focus on Jesus. But Pastor, that sounds so abstract and so spiritual. Yes, and it's practical at the same time. I get in his word, I get in his face through prayer. Doesn't mean I don't do some tangible things as well. But at the core, it means this. I'm choosing to focus on Jesus more than I focus on everything else. It means that I will not allow the worries of life to get my attention more than Jesus does. And I hope that I'm helping some of you today, because I could just sense in the spirit that many of us have come here tangled in the web of worry. You're worried about so many things right now. You're overwhelmed. You're exhausted. And Jesus is saying, come to me, I'll give you rest. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. I want to invite us to stand to our feet in this moment. I'm here to let you know that worry will not win because Jesus has already won. Pastor, how did he win? I'm here to let you know he won on that Friday over 2,000 years ago when he went to that cross. When he carried our sin on that cross, he carried our shame on that cross, he carried our weakness on that cross. He carried our failures on that cross. He carried our worries on that cross. And while he was on that cross, he said, it is finished. It's the word tetelestai. It is done. It is paid for. It is taken care of. He did that on Friday. But the good news is that it did not stop on Friday, but early on Sunday morning. The Bible says that he got up with all power in his hands, not just power over sin, death, the grave, and evil. But I'm here to let you know that if he has power over sin, death, the grave, and evil, it means he also has power over worry. He also has power over anxiety. I'm here to let you know that because Jesus got up, you can get up out of worry, that you don't have to be controlled by worry anymore. You can be a victor in Jesus' name. And I want to know, is there anybody here today that can celebrate the fact that we got victory in Jesus, that we've already won the battle because he has? Worry will not win. I will not worry. I will worship. I will not worry. I will pray. I will not worry. I will meditate. I will cast my cares on him because he cares for me. With heads bowed and eyes closed, if you're here in this moment and you're saying, Pastor, this is me. I find myself in a place of worry. Can I let you know you will not be free from worry fully and totally and truly until you first surrender your life to Jesus? And some of us are here and you've come to church, but you've never come to Christ. You've given your time to come to a service, but you've never given him your faith in your life. And I want to let you know, you will never be able to overcome worry without access to the one who already has. Jesus came from heaven, died for your sins, rose back to life to give you life and life more abundantly. And if you're here under the sound of my voice and you're saying, today, Pastor, I want to give my life to Jesus. I don't want to be a slave to worry anymore. I want to be free in Jesus' name. If you're here under the sound of my voice and you want to give your life to Christ, on the count of three, would you shoot up your hand? One, today is a day of new beginning. Two, any person in Christ is a new creature. One, two, three, wherever you are, you want to give your life to Jesus today. Come on, wherever you are, slip up your hand. Raise your hand. Amen. I see your hands. Amen. Come on, wherever you are, shoot up your hand. If this is you today, you want to give your life to Jesus Christ. For some of you, you wandered from Jesus, but today he's inviting you back. If that's you, you're saying, I want to come back to Jesus. I don't want to do it my own way. I want to do it his way. Wherever you are, slip up your hand as well. Come on, wherever you are, you want to give your life to Jesus Christ today. Amen. I see your hands. Amen. For every hand lifted in this place, I want to lead you in a prayer of faith. It's a prayer of saying, I'm trusting you, Jesus, with my life. So wherever you are, would you say these words? Jesus, I give you my life. I believe that you died for my sins. I believe that you rose back to life to give me new life. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for loving me. Would you be my Lord? Would you be my Savior? In your name, Jesus, I pray. And every person said amen. Come on, can we celebrate as loud as we can for the hands that went up? Amen.